Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we would like to discuss about the inequality effects associated with foreign trade. It's widely believed that global trade and the associated international specialization of production has been an important driver of the global rise in aggregate incomes over the past decades. At the same time, aggregate income gains mask the fact that the gains from trade can be rather unequally distributed across society, with some parts of society losing out while other segments win. And that's something we want to talk today about. To do so, we have with us today David Dorn, who is a specialist on this topic. David is UBS Foundation Professor of Globalization and Labor Markets at the University of Zurich in Switzerland and a world-leading expert studying the distributional effects of foreign trade. Welcome to the podcast, David.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for inviting me to the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So your work has become widely known also among non-economists because you have studied a phenomenon that has now generally called the China shock. So the China shock is the trade shock that was triggered by the inclusion of China in the World Trade Organization at the start of the millennium. But it seems that this shock is still ongoing today. For instance, we could see just this year that China transformed itself from being a net importer of cars to being a big net exporter of cars, of course, mainly electric cars. And this is potentially a big deal in particular for Europe. So how do you think yourself of the China shock nowadays, some 20 years after it has actually happened for the first time?
What we call the China shock is the result of a confluence of several factors that generated an enormous wave of globalization, especially in the 1990s and even more so from about the year 2000 to 2010. What happened in this period is that there were new technical opportunities with the internet, communication became easier, facilitating trade. There were trade liberalizations going on in different parts of the world. But perhaps most significantly, following the fall of the Iron Curtain, a lot of the formerly communist countries, or those countries that had economically separated away from the West, started to integrate into the Western scheme of trading. And none of these countries was bigger than China, which within a very, very short period of time moved from being almost a non-entity in international trade to being the world's largest exporter of goods. What we see now is that around the year maybe 2010 or 2012, Chinese export growth starts to slow down. And even though there is still, of course, some growth in exports in some sectors, the very big wave of the China shock probably is now over.
So evidence from Europe and the United States you collected shows that the trade has increased also labor market inequality. This is true not just between workers with high and low skills, but also between workers in different industry and in different geographic regions. In particular, your work shows that growing import competition from China caused declines in both employment and wages for workers in trade-exposed industry locations. So can you tell us a little bit more about which segment of the working population has been hit hardest by these developments?
Yes, with pleasure. So for a long time, trade economists believe that when there is more trade, then of course countries will specialize in those sectors in which they have a comparative advantage in production. So one always understood that, for instance, trade with a lower income country could mean that the lower income country takes over more of the low cost production, which China, for instance, did in sectors like textile production or furniture or toys or also assembly of electronics. And then the exports of China in these industries meant that in Europe or in the United States, a lot of factories that were also competing in these areas no longer were able to keep up with the Chinese competition. They had to close down, and a lot of people lost their jobs. Now, what economists long believed is that labor markets should be so flexible that these people whose jobs disappear should just quickly move on to other jobs in other sectors and perhaps do so without much of a decline in wages. However, the research of the last 10 years revealed that actually labor markets, even in the United States, where the labor markets were thought to be especially flexible, don't work quite as well. And so what we see is that those workers who were initially employed in textiles or furniture and related fields, they have had significant negative impacts of these trade shocks on their careers. They have become more likely to be unemployed or leaving the labor market altogether. They have become more likely to only have a low-paid job if they found other re-employment. And because there are also geographic areas like towns in the United States that are very strongly specialized in specific fields, there has also been a big decline in particular locations that, for instance, were heavily dependent on the furniture industry.
Right. So it seems that we can very well point to the segments that lost from the China world integration into trade. But it also seems that it's surprisingly difficult to point to workers that actually gained from these increased trade integration. Why is that? Does it mean that the gains from trade went mostly to the capital owners or perhaps to the consumers in form of lower prices? Or can't we point to any of the good things that international trade is supposed to generate?
Well, international trade clearly did generate benefits. The main benefit is that the ability to import low-cost goods from abroad has led to a decline in price levels in the corresponding domains. So, for instance, we now have access to very cheap clothes, to very cheap furniture, and so on. And that would not have been possible without the emergence of China as a big producer of those goods. Now, it turns out that when we look at what people from different income levels in Western countries consume, we see that actually all of these groups are consuming goods from China. The low-income people perhaps might spend somewhat more of their income on clothes. The higher-income people spend relatively more on consumer electronics. So it's less clear there that there has been a differential impact on consumers, with some benefiting much more than others. On the labor market side that you mentioned, Klaus, perhaps surprise with the rise of China was that it also came with an enormous increase in worldwide trade imbalances. So that means there are countries like the United States or the United Kingdom that have massively increased imports from China, but export very little to China. And so whereas these countries have faced job losses in those industries that now can no longer keep up with the Chinese competition, they have not really seen compensating job gains in other sectors that would export a lot.
And you already kind of alluded to the next question I was about to ask about the relative winners and losers, if we'll, on the country level, in the sense that the inclusion of China in the world trade not just led to heterogeneity at the worker level, but also country level. And all high-income countries experienced a rapid increase in imports from China. But as you said, just a few really benefited in terms of surging exports to China. countries such as Germany and Switzerland were quite successful there, taking advantage of that. But others like France, the UK, and the US did not, which then led, as you said, to shrinking manufacturing employment. What are the underlying reasons here for that heterogeneity in the export dynamics? Is it competitive forces, or is it implicit restrictions, or subsidy policies by China that can explain those differences?
I tried to explore that question a bit in a recent review article that I wrote with Peter Lebel for the IFS Deaton Review on Inequalities, and the answer is, I think, not entirely clear-cut. One thing I would note is that, of course, Germany has long been nicknamed the export world champion, and Switzerland also is a country that exports actually a lot of manufacturing goods. And one component of their ability to really make use of export opportunities in China may simply be that they have already been very good at entering new markets and exporting there. Another part might also be just perhaps the product mix that certain countries are specialized in. So the Swiss, for instance, benefited from the fact that Switzerland produces a lot of pharmaceutical products and a lot of luxury goods like watches, which are not areas where China is strong in. And Germany for a long time benefited a lot from Chinese demand for German machinery or German cars.
Would you say that the workers that then were working in these industries in Germany and Switzerland, are those perhaps the winners of international trade integration of China, or can't
yes.
we see anything there either? Or
yes, this there is some evidence that in countries that saw a big increase for exports of their products, there were actually job gains in exporting industries or regions where these industries are concentrated. And when we do a very simple comparison across Western countries, we see that the declines in manufacturing employment were the largest during the 2000s in those countries that saw big growth of imports from China without having big growth of exports to China. Countries like Germany or Switzerland, where both the imports from China and the export from China grew at about the same pace and magnitude, those countries had a much, much more stable job situation in the manufacturing sector.
At least until now, we shall see what will happen in the car industries or other relevant industries, certainly very important on the German side. Now, an interesting aspect of your work is that you also show that the political support for free trade has fallen, particularly in the areas that were most strongly exposed to the so-called China shock. So, and in response to this, the United States has recently slapped significant unilateral tariffs on Chinese imports already in 2018 and then again in 2019. Do you see any evidence that these tariffs actually were effective in limiting the economic impact from the China shock, say in terms of aggregate trade outcomes between China and the United States, or in terms of the local labor market inequalities that situation has improved in some sense, or do you not see anything going on there?
So there is a lot of research that shows that these tariffs that first the United States imposed on imports, especially from China, and that then China imposed in retaliation on imports that they received from the United States, these tariffs clearly increased prices in those countries because it is now more expensive to import goods, which certainly has been a negative effect on consumers. I have a recent a research paper that shows that in the aggregate, the job effects of this whole trade war in the United States have been very, very close to zero. There is not much evidence that the US import tariffs created a job gain. There is a little bit of job loss due to the retaliatory tariffs. that hurt some industries in the United States, such as the agricultural sector that is important for exports. But what is striking is that when you look at the political impacts of these tariffs, then the outcome looks a lot more attractive for the Republican government that implemented those tariffs, because especially the regions that now got import protection for their industries, they became more likely to vote for Republicans and also for Donald Trump.
It's only window dressing, but it works politically.
If I may, one might wonder a little bit why, this trade conflict still is such a important political issue, even though I said before that the big wave of globalization and the big growth of Chinese exports sort of slowed down a lot over the last 10 years or so. And one thing that is important there to realize is that the job losses that took place in these regions that were affected by Chinese import competition, these job losses have been remarkably long lasting. So we still see that in places where, for instance, the local furniture industry collapsed, there is now a much, much lower employment rate and lower income level than there used to be before. And so certainly there is still also a lot of discontent that politicians can tap into.
So one thing we haven't discussed is the fact that labor market outcomes are also shaped by other forces, such as technological developments, and some of which manifest themselves also via trade. In one sense, such alternative force that has been studied quite a bit in the economics literature is automation. So can we disentangle the inequality effects generated by automation from those coming to purely because of trade intensification?
One can certainly do that to a certain extent. Automation is oftentimes an automation that is mechanizing a particular part of a production process. So firms are in, for instance, their factories, replacing some workers with machines or robots that do the same steps automatically, or firms replace certain clerical workers, for instance, in accounting with software. This is a different labor replacement process than the one that occurs via trade, because in the case of trade, the more typical pattern is that just an entire firm is no longer viable because of the competition in the goods market. So then if a furniture factory shuts down, it's not just like eliminating the jobs for some particular types of accounting workers or particular types of production workers, but everyone loses the job because the whole firm no longer exists. And in that regard, one can actually separately estimate these inequality effects of trade and technology.
And which you think has been more important than, after all, looking at, say, the US manufacturing sector?
I would say in a very long run perspective, technology is likely to be more important. In this particular period, especially in the 2000s, when the globalization wave came, the China shock hit, and the US lost like a third of its manufacturing jobs in a very short period, there I would say trade had a very, very prominent role.
That's very interesting. So now, of course, we are faced with a new form of automation that has arrived. It was computers, software, robots in the past, but now we have chatbots that can perform conversations, interact with people, and execute and automatize job tasks that we thought to be beyond the reach of automation just maybe a few months ago. So how do you think these new technologies will affect trade patterns and the patterns of labor market inequality? I understand this needs to be now a little more speculative, but
so on the side of trade, there is since quite some time speculation on whether advancing automation could actually potentially bring back manufacturing jobs to high-income countries, simply based on the notion that it's no longer that important to have a cheap labor force that can do cheap assembly and the like in a distant country. Whether that will really occur, I think, remains to be seen. The other question is more directly, also separately from trade, how these new developments in technology will impact the labor market. And I would say at this point, there is a very, very large insecurity about the answer to that question. And the insecurity stems from the fact that there isn't even an agreement on what kind of occupations or jobs would really be very, very much exposed to that development. Because at the end of the day, even though these new technologies are sort of, you know, inducing a lot of like speculation on what could what they might be able to do in the future, we just still don't quite see what are sort of straight out the jobs that are becoming completely obsolete through that technology. And so there are estimates of what, for instance, artificial intelligence will do to the labor market, but people have very, very different views on whether that will be more a weight falling on relatively high-skilled workers with university education, or whether in the end, the automation actually is more centering on relatively lower-skilled clerical workers, for instance, that already have been in part displaced by software technology.
Yeah, it remains interesting to see. Well, probably we have to meet in 10 years to really know what has happened.
Or it could be computers who do the podcast and instead of us talk about those humans. Anyway,
I do doubt that they will be as good as you are in running a podcast, but it remains to be seen.
Well, they might be better in summarizing what you just said, which I will try now very briefly, because the main takeaways for our reader. So the first question, that the China shock and all that, what you said is important to keep in mind. It was several factors hitting, if you will, the global economy at the same time. So you had technological changes, internet, your trade liberalizations, and all that came. If you will, China is the biggest fish in the pond, but together with these other factors that enhanced the China impact. Where is the impact on employment and wages being felt the most? Well, trade has distributional impacts because it leads to specialization. That's nothing new. But what was thought in the past that the labor markets would be flexible enough to, in the end, once the new jobs had been found, that on a net basis, everybody would be probably better off. But given the size of the China shock, it turned out to be the case that that's even in the US, the labor market is not flexible enough. And you had cities where there were very much specialized furnitures and other things which had a hard time then dealing with this kind of shock. And those are, if you will, the losers. What are the gains from trade? Well, the main benefit is, you said, well, low-cost goods will be cheaper, will be imported, means lower inflation. Which countries benefited from China, and or why did some countries benefit and others not? And you said, well, it's not necessarily clear cut, the answer. The product mix does play a role. Are you more complementary to what China needed and imported what it produced, or were you competing head on? And some countries, say like Germany and Switzerland, have a long tradition of exporting and were probably also therefore in a position to take advantage of these opening out of China more than others. Tariff, are they effective in dealing with a China shock? You said, well, what you found is tariffs lead to higher prices in both China and US. China retaliated with tariffs. But there's not much of a job effect, i.e. the jobs did not come back because of the tariffs, though politically you can milk that for quite some time, and that obviously is interesting from the political point of view. Automation versus trade. So automation is different in that it usually only replaces certain jobs in a company, while trade may threaten the company as a whole, and therefore the implications are quite different. In the long run perspective, automation has bigger employment effects, but in the short run, the China shock, you said, was probably more relevant. And finally, AI, a lot of uncertainty, not surprisingly here. And there's the idea it could actually bring back some jobs, but we shall see, and we'll meet, as we said, again in 10 years' time to discuss that. Thanks again for your time, David. I hope that was a fair summary of what you said.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thanks again.